I pray that this would be a personal song for each one of us. You know, God's kingdom is in each and every one of us. And so what we're asking him is build your kingdom, not just here, but right here. So let's think about that as we sing together. Oh, wait, that was the wrong chord. That's the right one.
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very soul. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. And we are your church, and we need your power in us. Seek your kingdom first. We hunger and we thirst. Refuse to waste our lives, for you're our joy and prize. To see the captive's hearts released, the hurt, the sick, the poor at peace. We lay down our lives for heaven's cause. And we are your church, revive this earth. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and our land. Set your church on fire. Win this nation back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom's power, reaching the near and far. No force of hell can stop your beauty changing hearts. You made us so much more than this. Awake the kingdom seed in us. Fill us with the strength and love of Christ. And we are your church.
Presence of the Holy Spirit. If you're a guest among us today, we offer a special welcome to you. A reminder that at 9:30 we have our children's ministry Trailblazer Sunday here in the sanctuary, and at 11 o'clock we have our farewell and ministry celebration for Jody Dodson in the Family Life Center, simultaneous to the 11 o'clock worship here. A couple ministry items. There is to be a church camp ministry moment, but I don't see Carl Jackson. So take a look at the church camp information there. There are camps for all ages. You can be a child, a teenager, an adult, an older adult, and I believe there's still some camp brochures out in the information table. VBS volunteer opportunities continue. That's the white sheet that's in your worship folder. And we're looking for names of graduates as well for graduation Sunday, June 11th celebration. So if you have anyone in your family or you are completing a graduation or certificate program of any sort, please share that information with us. The Relay for Life t-shirts are available for pickup just outside the Family Life Center. And I'm reminded that soup from the Election Day soup and bake sale remains available. All three kinds are available. Lula Mae will be down in the kitchen afterwards. I believe it's $8 a quart. So you're welcome to head down there and pick that up if you're so led. Won't you rise? We have our drama ministry, right? Yeah, we do have a ministry, drama ministry moment here.
I can't wait for the Relay for Life. I am so excited. I'm going to reach with the heart of God for the lives of our community, just like it says in here. That's what we're all about, right? Why don't you come with me?
Oh, I don't know. I don't believe in those kind of things. Besides, you have to do walking, don't you? And my leg's not been feeling good. I couldn't walk once around.
I've got the answer for you.
What?
This year, for people who have trouble walking around the track, they can rock.
Rock?
Yeah.
I told you I can't walk. How can I rock and roll? I'm not bringing my guitar and amp either. That's just too much
to
carry.
No, not that kind of rock. There are going to be rocking chairs. We can sit in the rocking chairs and rock. And you're still there representing and showing people how you support finding a cure for cancer.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I could rock. I could do that. But I don't like the idea of going and asking people for money and saying, you know, can you do anything?
Okay.
If I do 1,000 rocks, will you give $10 or something?
First of all, you don't have to do it based on how much you rock or walk. It's just whatever people want to give. And here's how I do it. I'm so enthusiastic about it anyway.
You
so
are.
I tell everybody, I tell all my friends what I'm doing. And naturally, they're interested in asking questions. And so I let them know how they can participate. And one of the ways they can participate is by donating. And it's really easy. All you have to do is go out to the Relay for Life website, and you can do it right there, and it's done. There are other ways, too, that they can participate. If, you know, they can make signs. I have some friends who are really artistic, and so I tell them, you know, we could really use some nice signs to put up around the Aldersgate tent and around the track to encourage the walkers and stuff. You know, that's a great idea, huh?
Yeah, maybe they can make me a sign. Rock on for cancer.
That sounds great.
I still don't know, though, but it's like a long time, isn't it? It's like 12 hours or something?
Well, yes, it starts at 10 o'clock in the morning and goes till 10 o'clock at night. Yep.
There goes my whole Saturday. No.
You don't have to be there the whole time. You can come and go as you please. You know, you can come, say, at 10 o'clock for the opening ceremonies and stay and rock a little bit and then go home when you're ready.
Well, they're going to have food?
Well, yeah, I'm glad you asked that, because this year there's going to be food trucks.
Food trucks?
Yeah.
You know, I love food trucks, yeah. Why didn't you say that at the beginning?
Yeah.
Yeah, how come? That sounds really good.
All right,
food
good.
Trucks.
We'll see you there at 10 o'clock, huh?
I wonder what the world record is for rocks in 12 hours.
Joe is such an old rocker, it's ridiculous. Let's stand together. That's right, we should clap for them. They did a great job. And they'll be here for all three services today. So this is a song that we've done twice now, and I always like to repeat a song a couple times to see if you guys take hold of it, because then we know it's a song that helps us to respond to the Lord. So this is "The Songs of the People Will Rise." Will you pray with me before we sing? Father God, here we are just as we are, and you meet each one of us no matter where we are on this journey of faith, a new believer or a seeker or someone who has been following you for a long time. You have exactly what we need, and that's the reason that we come to this place, to bring honor and glory to your name because of who you are. You are the blessed Redeemer. You're Emmanuel. You're the solid rock, just as we're going to sing. I just pray that the sound of our voices would bring a smile to your face this morning, Lord. We lean into you, and we lean on you for our very life. It's in your name that we pray these things. Amen. Okay.
Hearing echo from the valley to the
It's the heartbeat of the dead now raised to life. Nothing can stop the sound. God be lifted high. The songs of the people will rise. Hear the broken, see the helpless find the way. Darkness to the light in Jesus' name. Sinners and saints all sing, God be glorified. The songs of the people will rise. The songs of the people will rise.
It's a mighty fortress.
A mighty fortress, the solid rock. See the helpless find a way. From the darkness to the light in Jesus' name. Sinners and saints all sing, God be glorified. The songs of the people will rise. The songs of the people will rise.
First couple lines of this song, I see your face in every sunrise. The colors of the morning are inside your eyes. The world awakens in the light of the day. I look up to the sky and say, you're beautiful. I was just having a conversation with someone yesterday about the beauty of God's creation and how sometimes that's just overwhelming to us. And so as you move throughout this week, I pray that these words would stay with you and that you would see God's face in the beauty of the sunrise and the sunset and the mountains and just this lovely creation that He's made just for you.
Offer for the ministries of Christ, God's tithes and our offering, and we're blessed that the choir is with us this morning for the anthem.
The song that we're going to sing this morning is called When We Sing, We Pray, and I just want to say that we're doing this because one of our choir members loved this song so much, Carol Ivy, and she couldn't be here when we did it at 9:30 because she wasn't feeling well. So you get to hear it this morning, but just pray that that God hears our music as a prayer from our hearts.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the universal language of music, for the ways it releases the cries and the praises, the testimonies and the confessions of our soul. We thank you for the gifts you give us through your church and the resurrected Son, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Lord, multiply these gifts that they might be used to reach others with the good news that indeed you have face the worst of the human condition. You have overcome the grave and the sin that infests this world, and you give us a pathway for victory. Let it be so, Lord, for us and for the world that you now send us to this morning for a week of ministry. Hear our prayers, all to your glory. Amen.
Hi, everyone. I'm sorry I cannot be there today. My name is Emily Lubold Steinkamp. I go to our 9:30 service, and I actually am an employee of Your American Cancer Society for the past 12 years. I've sat in church every Sunday, and I always thought I need to do more. I need to let folks know what's out there, and I shared with Pastor Troy my interest to do so. I got a call one evening from Carol asking me to speak, the only Sunday that I'm out of state. And it kind of made me think of what cancer's like. You get the phone call, and you never want it, and it's never expected. But then you have to figure out, how do I deal with it? And so, how has cancer impacted me? Sadly, I think for many of us, it's had an impact. It may be direct or maybe indirect. For myself, it's been direct, and it's been a hard hit. Cancer has been a word in my vocabulary for over half my life. And it's because in 2002, my mom was diagnosed with cancer. I was a sophomore in college at that time, and I got that phone call, the one you never want to hear, that your loved one has cancer. My senior year, she passed away. A week later, after I graduated, I started working for Your American Cancer Society, and I've been there ever since. So, cancer, how has it impacted me? How hasn't it impacted me? I don't have a mom. My kids don't have a grandmother. I've also laughed. I've made amazing friendships. I've had a career that has been profound. So how has cancer impacted you? When you think about Relay, what comes to your mind? Relay for Life for me, not only has it been a career, it's also been a healing process. With Relay, if you've never attended, the basis of it is to be walking around a track for 24 hours. Now, some events are shorter, and it's to embody what it's like to live with cancer. You can never step away from it. So in that team event, someone is always walking, someone is always present, and there in the face of cancer, if you will. As I shared, it was healing for me. Coming out of college, grieving with my mom's passing, it allowed me to laugh. With Relay, there's opportunities of fellowship with people from across your community. It allows you to see survivors walking strong with one another because they either have fought it or they're still in that battle of their cancer journey. But it also allows you to cry. And crying's okay, too. The Luminaria ceremony is one that will forever touch my heart. If you've never experienced it, I highly encourage you to. It's a time when you light a bag in honor or in memory of someone, and it's a moment of reflection. And during those times, you can cry and you can laugh, too. But for Relay for Life, for me, it's a healing process, and I encourage you to check it out. So how do you find hope in the midst of cancer? I would love to say that it's been easy, but it definitely has not. For yourself personally, if you've ever gone through a cancer journey or are currently going through it, you know it can be one of the most difficult times of your life. And I can truly attest that it's been my faith in God that has gotten me through the passing of my mom, and now currently my best friend is dealing with a stage 4 colon cancer diagnosis. The other week, Pastor Troy, he talked about, are you listening to God? And I truly feel that if my ears were not open to his message, of the benefits that he will give to you as a follower, I'm really not sure where I would be. I definitely don't think it'd be a career with the society. In fact, I probably would have turned my back on anything related to cancer. But because of God, I am able to smile. I am able to go through each day. And there are times where it's almost a minute-by-minute basis, but it's because of my faith that I can find hope, that I know that there's something so much greater. And I truly believe that God is as strong as I say he is. So what is Your American Cancer Society doing to engage in the cancer battle? To say the word a lot is an understatement. We work in a number of different areas, not only here in the United States, but across the globe. And I think that's one piece of information that most of the public doesn't realize. We are actually global-wide when it comes to fighting cancer. First off, in our backyard, over at Hershey Medical Center, there's a building called the Hope Lodge. And the Hope Lodge is established by fundraising donor dollars, and it provides free housing for families who are undergoing treatment. Basically, they're living in a home. And so for those people that must come to Penn State for their treatment, they don't have to worry about where they're going to go or where they're going to get money for a hotel. It's free because of the dollars that you give to the American Cancer Society. Or what about Road to Recovery? Our Road to Recovery program is 100% volunteer-based, and it allows volunteers to drive, picking up patients to take them to and from their treatment. That's it. If you have a car, if you can drive, you can be a volunteer. It's services like this that allow people to get to their treatment. especially for someone who's going through radiation, who may have 5 treatments for 8 weeks in a row, and their loved ones may not be near. This program makes sure that they get to their treatment. But here comes a tough question. Why isn't our money going to my neighbor Ed? And that's because the American Cancer Society wants to see an end to cancer. And we can't do that if our money is not put where it needs to go, which is in research. We have invested over billions of dollars since 1946 to the evidence-based research scientists, grantees. There are people that we have funded who their amazing work would have never come to surface if not for your donor dollars. So if you have seen changes in your local community about what the American Cancer Society does or does not do, please know it's because our money needs to go where we can find the cure, and that is through research. And my most favorite service, that it's 100% free, and if I may add, there's no other nonprofit that can state this, is our 1-800 number. If you call 1-800-227-2345, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you're going to get an actual individual who you can speak to. An amazing story I heard once was this little child, his parent was going through cancer, and he kept telling his teacher about how he had a friend he had to go home and talk to. And the teacher was kind of perplexed and a little nervous as to what this friend was that this child was referring to and spoke to his parents. This child went home every day after school and called that 1-800 number and spoke to one of our registered nurses about his parents' diagnosis. So if you know of someone that is facing a cancer diagnosis, or maybe you are a caregiver to someone, you can call. They can also connect you with local services that may not be provided by the American Cancer Society, but through your local community. If you have an aunt in California, a cousin in Nebraska, that 1-800 number is available to them. And the last bit of information is about prevention. I myself have been blessed to be educated about what it means to know the signs, to understand your body. Over 60% of cancers could be avoided if people lived a healthier lifestyle. I'm gonna let that sit with you for a minute. A healthier lifestyle. Getting more rest, drinking more water, eating the food that we all know is good for us, wearing sunscreen. And in fact, because of getting early detection screenings and for knowing my body, I detected not one, but 2 forms of pre-cancer. Had I not been aware, had I not been educated of those early signs, I unfortunately maybe have said that I was a cancer survivor. So if you're not sure, go to our website, www.cancer.org, and you're gonna find a number of resources about prevention, about volunteering, where our dollars go, and so much more. And at any time, if you see me in church or if you have a question, please do not hesitate to ask. I am more than happy to support you or a loved one. On behalf of the American Cancer Society, I cannot thank you enough for your time, for your donations, and for your service. Thank you so much.
Dennis, Bonnie, would you help distribute these? I'm asking Dennis and Bonnie to pass these baskets around. In them are small pieces of rice paper. Rice paper, when placed in that bowl up there, will dissolve. And I'll explain this in a little bit, but Emily is epitomizes what a wounded healer is. She lost her mom to cancer, and she could have turned her back on God, and as she said there, she could have said anything to do with cancer, I'm just going to avoid it because of the pain and hurt. Now, she happens to be living out part of her wounded healing calling in her profession. For most of us, that's probably not the case. But each one of us, as a follower or disciple of Christ, we can take our woundedness or the scars that come with living, and we can, in turn, ask God, what would you have me do with these wounds? You remember the gospel story when Jesus was resurrected and the disciples were behind locked doors and were saying, he's risen, I've seen him. A couple of them, Peter said, I've seen him. And Thomas said, surely until I put my hands in his side and through my fingers through his hands and know that this is the wounded Christ, the wounded Jesus, I'm not going to believe it. And sure enough, Jesus appears among them and says, Thomas, have at it. Put your hands in my wounds. Put your fingers in my wounded, pierced hands. And Thomas does and says, Lord, I believe. I think it's powerful that our Savior was resurrected with wounds. I say this all the time. I'll probably say it once again to the confirmation youth early this afternoon when I meet with them for the final time. I'll probably say to them, if we were making up a religion, if we were making up a religion and writing what a Savior would look like after he's been put on the cross and abandoned and shamed and despised and rejected, how many of us would resurrect him in that story of a made-up religion, resurrect him with wounds? My nature would say, there can't be any wounds visible anymore because everything you threw at him, God the Father took care of it. No wounds. And yet, the Father raised Jesus with woundedness that we might reach into his woundedness and know wholeness. Those pieces of paper that, as I turn to some words on the scripture specifically, I want you to be thinking about maybe a loved one that you've lost or is currently battling cancer or some other disease. You're welcome to write that name down. Maybe write one of your scars. Maybe you had a difficult childhood. Maybe you were messed over in an employment context. Maybe you've had a failed relationship. Whatever the scars are, maybe you've had your own health issues or emotional issues, or in a day and age where we finally have gotten to the point to realize mental health issues are part of disease as well. Maybe an addiction, maybe an unfulfilled dream. I'm going to invite you for our closing song today to make that our prayer movement and to come forward if you are so led to participate in this and place your scar, place your woundedness, place the name of a loved one in that water which represents the baptismal promise of God's salvation to us, to cleanse, to heal, to nourish. Who has believed what we have heard? What we've heard is that Jesus was resurrected with wounds. And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? It was revealed to Thomas. The arm of the Lord winning victory over that cross and over the grave. He grew up before him like a young plant, like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was just another little ordinary boy, Jesus of Nazareth, a carpenter's son. And he was raised by ordinary parents for extraordinary work. He was despised and rejected by others, by those of great religious authority. Certainly he could not be the Messiah. A man of suffering, acquainted with infirmity. He ate with sinners. And he was summoned to the bedside of those who were sick. And in those moments, he proved his authority that he indeed was the Son of God. He was one from whom others would hide their faces. Maybe one of your scars pertains to the ways in your life right now you're hiding your face from the Lord. I have a tendency to want to struggle to do that. I face God when it's convenient for me and when I want God to see the radiance of my life. And there are certain aspects that I find myself a tendency to want to shadow my face. It's safe with Jesus. He knows what woundedness is. He knows what brokenness is. He came into the world to face it head on. He was despised, and we held him of no account. Surely he has borne our infirmities. He has carried our diseases. There's not one thing that we in the human condition face that Jesus cannot relate to. He encountered those with the disease of the day. He encountered those in the midst of hopelessness. He walked into their mourning and their grief. He didn't hide from their tears. He wept with them, and Jesus wept. He was wounded for our transgressions. The wounds that Thomas was reaching into were the wounds that Thomas and all of humanity brought to the Son of God. The King James Version reads, "By his stripes we are healed." He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that makes us whole. By his bruises we are healed. Did you hear the healing hope in the midst of Emily's bruise and scars, and the hope that she found in Christ that, in a miraculous sort of way, right after college, led her to work with the American Cancer Society? It's not something she had envisioned or charted out. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus is the ultimate wounded healer. Carl Jung, the psychiatrist who came up with different archetypes of human behavior and mental conduct, came up with the archetype of the wounded healer, and he lifted up Jesus as the primary example of that. And Isaiah 53 is the center of that understanding. By his stripes we are healed. When I've gone through periods of loss and woundedness in my own life, it is this understanding that has given me hope for the next step, that God and Jesus fully relates. He fully understands. We just completed 4 heroin, drug, opioid abuse seminars in the Family Life Center the past 4 weeks. And we had stories shared, especially on the last night, of people that are in a battle of recovery and for recovery. And we also had one of our neighbors just down the street, Terry, stand up and speak about his young daughter who he lost to heroin addiction, that began with opioid prescriptions following a surgery. And he stood there and he talked about a foundation he and his wife have started called Sarah's Hope. Sarah was found in their bathtub on the eve of going to another rehab, having overdosed on heroin. A lot of times in the midst of going to rehab, they're looking for one final high before they go. Those parents could be totally devastated and abandoning God, and yet each week at Christ Community Church, they lead a Sarah's Hope session for family members of loved ones going through addiction specifically. They are finding resurrection in the midst of their own deep woundedness, not because they're extraordinary people, but because their Savior was raised with wounds. So why is it we as a people hide from our wounds, or we hide our wounds from others? Some of the best encouragers are those that have been there. Some of the greatest healing and salvation gifts to the world come through those who have lost greatly. Mothers Against Drunk Driving was founded in 1980. In 1980, about 27,000 Americans were killed by drunk drivers every year. You double that and you get almost the total lives lost in the Vietnam War, about 59,000. 27,000 a year. It was in 1980, a 13-year-old Carrie Leitner of Fair Oaks, California, was walking along a quiet road on her way to her church carnival when a car swerved out of control and struck her and killed her. Carrie's tragic death compelled her mother, Candy Leitner, to found Mothers Against Drunk Driving. Today, 10,000 people die of drunk drivers a year. It's been cut by 55 to 60%. It's still way, way too many. And now with legalization of marijuana in certain states, now there are driving violations bringing havoc to others because of driving under the influence of that. When police arrested Clarence Bush, the driver who struck 13-year-old Carrie on her way to church, they found that he had a record of arrest for intoxication and had, in fact, been arrested on another hit-and-run drunk driving charge less than a week earlier. Carrie's mom, Candy, learned from a policeman that drunk driving was rarely prosecuted and that Bush was unlikely to spend any time behind bars and the can would just be kicked down the road. Candy took her deep, deep wounds, losing a child. Some here have experienced that. Most of us can't even imagine it. She took that deep woundedness and she cried out for righteousness and justice and mercy for the victims. She became a wounded healer. Drunk driving deaths have been cut by 55 to 60%. In many ministries, many outreaches, many lives have been saved as a result. Jesus took on the pain of the world, of its sin, of its wrongs, of its selfishness, of its hate, of its indifference, of its silence. He took all the wounds of the world on. When I think of the resurrected Jesus, I don't think of the Savior I would write in my own religion, perfectly restored. I think of a Savior who stands with his wounds crying out to me and you and this world, I know your pain. I can understand your loss. And my Father in heaven knows equally well. Christ is our wounded healer, church. To that we should sing, to God be the glory. Wounds can be healed through Jesus. You and I go through life and we have scars that give testimony to the healing that we've had physically, right? I was burnt with a blowtorch in a metal shop class as a sophomore. And I still have scarring on this right hand from that. I made the mistake of going up behind a friend and saying, what are you welding there? And he turned around to answer me, and it went right on my hand. Deep burns. I remember that moment. But our scars are far more than remembering the moment of hurt and pain. Our scars remind us that we need inner healing. You've heard me say before, hurt people hurt people. And when I say that, I see so many heads shake. Toxic people spread toxicity. Part of the illness of our world is that hurt people are not finding a Savior in whom they can trust their woundedness. God can use our woundedness for us to experience even deeper healing. The Spirit of Christ wants to empower you and me to bring healing to others. Can you hear through Emily's call and her work how she has a hope to seek to bring the balm of Gilead healing to others? When we are hurt, it's normal for us to resist being hurt again. The disciples were all gathered in that room behind locked doors. They had abandoned, denied, and were hiding from the story of the resurrected Jesus. And Jesus comes in, and his first words are, "You bunch of losers." Right from the King James translation, right? You remember that passage, right? It doesn't exist. That's how I would have written it. "You bunch of losers, didn't I tell you I was going to be resurrected? I was going to meet you in glory for your life's deliverance." No, he breaks through that closed, locked, fearful wall, and he says, "Shalom." You know what that means? Peace be with you. The wounded warrior is Jesus, and he says to you and me, with whatever wounds, whatever scars we have, "My peace be with you." Surrender it to the power of the cross and know inner healing. What if we say, "My scars are so many? They're even embarrassing because some of them are self-inflicted." Jesus can handle that too. Remember, those disciples who knew him best majored in inflicting themselves with woundedness. That's why we need to continue to be a church that reaches with the heart of God for the lives of God's people. Some people have woundedness of an unexpected pregnancy and their decisions in the aftermath. They don't need Christians beating their doors down and offering condemnation. They need Christians who say, "Shalom. Let me tell you about a Savior who can take our wounds." Others have time in prison. Others have failed relationships. Others have worked injustices and they've wounded others, and that's part of their scarring. Others have experienced injustice brought to them. Here's the good news. Isaiah 53 proclaims it. God has come to heal our wounds. Isaiah 53 foretells Jesus' promise that way. Be courageous to claim your woundedness. Be courageous, like Emily, to say, "This is where my life and my world has been ripped apart, but I'm willing to seek to surrender it into God's hands to see what healing God might do." Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, as we move through this final motion in worship this morning, remind us that broken things can become blessed things when we let you do the mending. Heavenly Father, within this small gathering here, there's brokenness of hurt and pain, of physical, of mental, of emotional turmoil that you know fully. We can't hide anything from you. You know the brokenness of our own disappointment in ourselves. And yet you break in and say, "Shalom." You know the pain of relationships failed, or maybe a childhood that wasn't as blessed as it should have been and could have been. You offer shalom. You know our fears of the future that hold us captive. You offer your shalom. You know our internal struggles, spiritual, and you know our physical struggles. And you offer shalom. Help us, Lord, to know that we too, as followers of Jesus, by your Holy Spirit, can embody the wounded healer promise as we face our scars and our woundedness and as we go into your world this week. Make us sensitive to the hurts of others. Make us aware, Lord, that you've won the victory. And inspire us through outreaches like the Relay for Life or divorce care or single parenting or grief share or just embracing another person with a listening ear. Lord, by your stripes we are healed, and we bring our brokenness to your altar in these moments to invite your even deeper cleansing and healing in us, that the world might know that you have won the victory. Hear our prayers, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to rise as able and as the praise team sings. If you are so led to reach for the baptismal waters of healing symbolically to bring forward your confession, your name of a loved one, your scars, and to place it in that baptismal pool. Amen.